Hello, I'm Casey Luskin, and welcome to ID the Future. This is part one of an off-the-cuff, impromptu talk that I gave for a computer scientist that was visiting Discovery Institute and wanted a short briefing on the latest findings in molecular biology and how they support intelligent design.
Everybody knows the central dogma of biology, and that says that DNA makes RNA makes protein. However, what biology has discovered in the last 10 or 15 years, and really, I think this knowledge has exploded in the last 5 years, is that DNA makes RNA makes protein is only a very, very small portion of the story. So for one, DNA makes RNA makes protein. But along the way, those RNAs are often changed before they then go out to make proteins. And there are two main processes that those RNAs will undergo when they're on their way to go make proteins to change those transcripts and therefore changing the proteins that they make. And that's RNA editing and RNA splicing. RNA editing is when DNA makes an RNA strand, but then that RNA goes out into the cell and other molecules attach to that RNA and actually change its nucleotide sequence. And that then changes the amino acid sequence of the protein that is created at the ribosome. The other process is RNA splicing. And that's where an RNA is transcribed from DNA, but then that RNA is chopped up into different pieces, and those RNAs are then spliced together by other molecules in the cell to create an entirely new transcript that is then sent to the ribosome to create a protein. It would be kind of like this. RNA editing would be like you take a sentence and you change some of the letters in the sentence, and then you get a new sentence. RNA splicing would be like you take that sentence and you chop up a segment of that sentence, and then you take a section of another sentence and you splice those two sections together to create an entirely new sentence. Now, why is all this interesting? Well, one of the big findings of the Human Genome Project that was published back in 2001 is that the human genome only has maybe 10 to 20,000 genes. So that is about the same number of genes that a fruit fly has. So why is it that the human genome and a fruit fly have about the same number of genes? I mean, obviously something is determining the vast differences between a human being and a fruit fly. What is it? Well, there's a couple ways that we might be able to answer that question. One is that the genes are not controlling the differences between humans and a fruit fly. And obviously everybody has heard that old statistic that genes only comprise maybe 2 to 3% of our entire genome. So the other 97, 98% of our genome, what is it doing? Well, a lot of Darwin advocates said it must just be junk DNA, or the vast majority of that non-coding DNA is genetic garbage that's the result of millions of years of unguided evolutionary mutations messing up and garbling our genome, and it doesn't do anything. Well, this new vision of molecular biology says that the vast majority of the rest of our genome actually is functional, and it's performing vital functions that controls and regulates the production of genes. And what is the rest of our genome doing? Well, for one, a lot of that DNA is being transcribed into RNA, but it's not then being used to make proteins. That doesn't mean that RNA isn't useful or it's not doing something. Those RNAs that don't encode proteins, they are involved in the processes we just talked about, RNA editing, RNA splicing, and all kinds of other important processes that regulate the RNAs that do encode proteins. Think about it like this. When you build a house, you need a blueprint and you need the materials. Well, the gene coding DNA controls the production of the materials. It builds the bricks, it builds the wood, it builds the screws, it builds the hammers, okay? The gene coding DNA controls the building materials. But you can't build a house without a blueprint as well. The rest of the genome is like the blueprint.
Though I don't think it contains the entire blueprint because I don't think the entire blueprint for an organism is in its DNA, as we'll discuss in just a couple minutes.
So really the blueprint of the cell, the blueprint of an organism might be stored in the non-coding DNA. And that's one of the big discoveries of modern molecular biology, is that the non-coding DNA is really running the show. Of course the genes are important, but they're only a small part of the story. Now there's another part of the story as well. Again, the Human Genome Project finds that our genome only has 10 to 15, maybe 20,000 genes, the same number of genes, give or take a few, as a fruit fly. So what is encoding the differences? Well, it turns out that when you look at the actual proteins in a eukaryotic organism, there was a study of a yeast, a yeast, which has a genome that is smaller than ours, but still about the same order of number of genes. This study of the yeast found that it had over a million different proteins in the yeast organism. I don't mean like different individual copies of the protein, I mean different types of proteins in the yeast. So it probably only has, I'm going off memory here, maybe it's like 5 to 10,000 genes. Less than we do, but same order of magnitude basically of what we have in terms of genes. So where are all those other proteins coming from? If there's only 5 to 10,000 genes, how are there a million different types of proteins? Well, those other different proteins are being produced through these processes we just talked about, RNA editing, RNA splicing. The DNA produces RNA, and then what happens? These other RNAs that don't code for proteins, they go out into the cell and they modify those protein-coding RNAs. They edit them, they mix them and match them together through RNA splicing to create all kinds of diverse different types of proteins. So a huge amount of your cellular processes are actually being controlled by the non-coding DNA that's involved in RNA editing and RNA splicing to create a huge diversity of proteins from really what turns out to be just a very small number of genes. So this Darwinian idea that the vast majority of our genome is functionless junk DNA is totally out the window. And there's literally thousands of papers that have come out in the last 5 to 10 years finding function for what we used to call junk DNA, and we're now finding that actually that is the master control DNA in the cell. One more thing about junk DNA, let's start back again to the Human Genome Project. In 2001, the human genome was sequenced. We now know the exact sequence in terms of nucleotide bases and their ordering of the entire human genome, okay? A, T, A, C, G, A, T, T, all that, all right? Well, what does it mean? We can identify where the genes are because we know what a gene looks like. A gene has a certain logic to it. There's a promoter sequence. There are certain sequences that are necessary for molecular machines to attach to at the beginning of a gene so that then the DNA can be transcribed into RNA. And there are certain just basic logical components that we always see in a gene. We know how to identify a gene. But the vast majority of the rest of our DNA, we don't know what it means. We don't even know what it's doing. So the ENCODE project was conceived to help us begin to understand what the rest of the genome is doing, what that 97-98% of our non-coding DNA is doing. So what the ENCODE project did is it asked which parts of our genome is being transcribed into RNA, what parts of our DNA is being turned into RNA, and where and when, and what correlations are there. Maybe, you know, this little segment on chromosome 8 tends to always be transcribed at the same time as this segment of DNA on chromosome 13. And so we find a correlation here, and that means that these two components of the genome, not only are they functional, they're probably linked together to do some process in the cell. So ENCODE does its research, and in 2012 comes out with a bombshell set of papers. It's in September of 2012, and the lead papers were published in the journal Nature, the world's top scientific journal, and basically what these papers found is that about 80% of our genome is being transcribed into RNA. Basically, that means it's biochemically functional. So that's a huge finding. What that means is that the vast majority of our genome is not just sitting there as dead weight, as many Darwinians would have you believe. It's being transcribed into RNA. Now, we still don't have any idea what a lot of that RNA is doing, but as we study individual sections of our genome, we're figuring it out one little piece at a time. And that's where all these thousands of papers that have come out in the last few years finding, okay, this piece of our genome produces a regulatory RNA that regulates this gene or this family of genes. Or this piece of our genome produces a microRNA that goes out and binds to these RNA transcripts and helps to regulate the production of these genes. And it's all very tightly controlled regulatory logic circuits that basically all of these RNAs that are being created by the non-coding segments of our genomes, they're short RNAs, there's long RNAs, they go out into the cell, they interact with one another, they literally form logic circuits in a very tightly controlled regulatory network to tell your cell which proteins to produce, which genes to turn on and produce proteins when, how much to produce, when to stop producing them. So again, this whole Darwinian idea that the non-coding DNA, that 97% of our genome, 98% of our genome, that it's junk, out the window. The only people who are holding out on this are a few evolutionary biologists, like this guy named Dan Grauer. He gave this talk where he said, if ENCODE is right, you know, that 80% of our genome really is functional, He said, if these are exact words, if ENCODE is right, then evolution is wrong. So ENCODE and its results scare him to death. And he still is adamant that we're going to find out that maybe it's not junk DNA. He says it's just junk RNA. Maybe ENCODE is right that the vast majority of our genome is being transcribed into RNA, but it's junk RNA. It's just doing nothing. Well, for one, that would be a colossal waste of cellular resources, right? And we're transcribing all of our DNA into RNA, and then it's just doing nothing? That, for one, it's a colossal waste of resources. But for two, whenever we actually take the time to look at a segment of DNA and study it and figure out what it's doing, we find out that it's producing RNAs that are involved in important regulatory processes in the cell. The trend line of the research here, yeah, there's still a lot we don't know about the genome. I mean, we're talking about 3 billion base pairs, and there's both genes that produce proteins, and now we know that there are genes that are just used to produce RNAs. But those RNAs themselves have all kinds of important cellular functions. It's not just proteins that are the worker molecules in the cell anymore. RNAs, in their own right, can be worker molecules that are both performing cellular functions or manipulating other RNAs that then go on to produce proteins. So again, the vast majority of our DNA is producing important molecules that are involved in cellular function. The notion of junk DNA out the window, the trend line of the research overwhelmingly is in the direction of all of our genome being functional. In fact, little quick tidbit about the ENCODE project. ENCODE said that when they came out with their big set of papers in 2012, said that 80% of the genome is transcribed into RNA and functional. They said, we want to let you guys know, we've only studied about 147 cell types in human beings. Human beings have thousands of different cell types. And so what they said is, as we study the rest of the thousand or so cell types, we anticipate that every single nucleotide in our DNA is going to turn out to be functionally important. So they've just begun. Even ENCODE still has a long way to go. And if 80% of our genome is functional with 147 cell types, they anticipate, literally this is what they were saying, that as we go and we study more and more cell types, we're going to get up to 100%.
This program was recorded by Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. For more information, visit www.intelligentdesign.org or www.idthefuture.com.